Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Raptors Over Everything, brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. My name is Iman, and today I'm joined by Asad. Asad, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good. It has been a week of NBA basketball being back, which is so exciting, but also brings a ton of heart palpitations and angst. And fury already. My beef with Zach Zarba is back in full throttle. The Raptors have gone 1-2 in their first week of basketball. I'd like to start there. I want to start off with the latest game. Let's just jump right into it. So what were your thoughts on the week as a whole? But let's start with the Philadelphia 76ers game.
The Philly game was, I think it was illuminating kind of on what this Raptors team might be this season. You got to see a lot of sparks from the younger players. Scottie Barnes was amazing across the board. You saw Grady Dick have his first NBA points and have his first real breakout. He played extended minutes. And then you also kind of saw some of the gaps that the Raptors do have. They were short OG Anunoby. Precious Achiuwa was out for the second half. So, again, those are two big defensive pieces for them. And, again, in OG Anunoby, that's a big offensive piece as well. But again, you're playing a Sixers team that's without James Harden, but with James Harden, that team is a team that wants to contend. And I think without them, they're still a very formidable team. Tyrese Maxey's taken a jump, as we saw. And I think the most noticeable thing was that with all the changes the Raptors made in their defensive scheme, I think we've seen the matchup with Philly a lot. So this was how you really saw what has changed with the Raptors scheme. They weren't, you know, sending random doubles to Joel Embiid as much. They were playing him single coverage, and he more or less feasted at the free throw line whenever he wanted. When the Raptors did send doubles, the Sixers did have trouble passing. But again, the Raptors played him more conservatively, and Joel Embiid didn't seem too bothered. And then on the flip side, there still is no answer for Tyrese Maxey. It seems that, you know, whether you swap out Fred VanVleet for Dennis Schroeder, that point of attack defense against Tyrese Maxey specifically is still an issue because he's just too quick, too fast, and too good of a shooter. But I think there's still some positives to take away. They fought till the end. They had one bad stretch in the third quarter, which really they blew it away. And again, the issues on this team remain turnovers, which you should expect in the early season, given, you know, the new offense they're trying to install. And just like kind of, I think, figuring out the hierarchy of like who's going to get what look when and how to get guys involved. Pascal Siakam only had two shots in the second half. It seemed at times that he was almost playing like a role player more than, you know, someone who the offense was geared towards. And that's obviously something that will have to change moving forward just to get the most out of him and for the team's success in general. But it was cool to see him play. You saw the young guys show out. And I think moving forward in the season, you're going to see the Raptors are probably one of these like middle tier teams. When they play their best, they look amazing like they did in, you know, the first half of like that, a good chunk of that Chicago game. And then at sometimes they will look like a young team that, you know, is not as good like the end of that Chicago game and that third quarter against Philadelphia. So yeah. I think that's the biggest thing to take away.
And I'm glad you sort of framed it in that way. I wanted to start with the Philadelphia 76ers game, not just because it was the last game that they played, of course, but also it was the one game that I felt comfortable with them losing. You know, like, for one, yes, they were down OG Anunoby, down Precious Achiuwa at the second half of that game, but also in that third quarter, the starters got outworked. And it's like, okay, well, this is a team that is better, quite frankly, than the Toronto Raptors, even without James Harden. Joel Embiid is, you know, for the reigning MVP. They came out and they just looked better than the Toronto Raptors. And so it felt comfortable losing that one. The Chicago game, you mentioned it, and already I'm just like, ugh, how the Raptors let that one slip. The last 2 minutes report, if you guys have not seen it, DeMar DeRozan traveled and should not have been taking free throws on that one. And also, was it Alex Caruso who flopped? Is that the other?
Yeah, the Pascal Siakam offensive foul on the inbounds was also said to be a wrong decision. But
which is
in any case, like the thing that sucks is like again, the Philly game was also a second night of a back to back, so you kind of have to eat it.
Yeah.
Also, the NBA scheduling, it like I swear Nick Nurse it has an in with NBA schedulers, because why are the first two games against Phillies both on the second night against second night of back to backs with the Raptors? I'm just saying, a little sus. But
where was that in last year?
Exactly. So yeah, so like obviously like the Philly game, whatever, you can call it a scheduled loss if you want. But I think there's also just like a difference in quality between the two teams. Yeah. But that Chicago game is like you go to overtime on the first day of a back to back. It's just like that's a tough one to take.
It's a brutal one to let slip, but it's only one out of 82 games. It feels like a lot right now because they've only played three games, but it is only one out of 82. And hopefully very many of them will not have Zach Zarba as an official. But I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Zach Zarba, don't come for me. So, okay, let's get back. So let's focus in on those first two games. And I think there's a lot to be optimistic. You're looking at a record that's 1-2, and you're thinking you're losing more than you're winning. This hasn't been a great start, but I don't necessarily think so. I think your point about the Philadelphia 76ers game being a scheduled loss is a good one. I also think that, like, they were competitive in that game. Yes, the third quarter happened, but they were competitive in it. They fought to the end. And then you had the Chicago game where the starters looked phenomenal, especially to start out that first quarter. And even in the fourth, even walking away with the game, you kind of felt comfortable. I don't know about you, but I felt very comfortable with 4 minutes to go in the fourth. I think they were up double digits. There was reason to be comfortable. The way that that game slipped through their fingers, it kind of feels like a once in a lifetime thing, kind of like missing 17 or 18 free throws in a game. It just feels like DR has some magic. I credit it all to her because that was some like magic that went in there. And then the game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Raptors look good. And I thought that they did as well in the Chicago game. So I think there's reasons to be optimistic about this team. Now, this team looks very different than last season, too. So I want to get into that and how different it looks. You mentioned it already with Pascal Siakam not being as featured part of the offense, especially as we saw in the second half of the Sixers game. But also, the ball is moving a ton. And I'll let you sort of, because I know you have a stat. We're going to give you guys a stat in the next segment. But before we get to that, what are your thoughts on how different the Raptors' offense has looked?
Yeah, so just to scope it in, the Raptors basically last season, they were eighth in passes. They're averaging about 292 a game. They were 23rd in the league in assists and 17th in potential assists. And their average time per touch was about 3 seconds, 3.04. This season, the Raptors are second so far in passes made after three games at 312. So that's like an extra 20 passes a game being made. They're seventh in assists. They're fourth in potential assists. So again, that gap is, you're always going to have more potential assists than assists, but the fact that there's a ranking difference, it kind of also comes down to their finishing ability, which we'll get to. But their touch time has dropped from 3 seconds, 3.04 seconds per touch to 2.8 seconds per touch. So about almost like 0.25 seconds per touch. So the ball isn't sticking as much. You've obviously seen that. You're just not seeing any ISO really. The Raptors' ISO frequency has like dropped off completely. And at most, like the longest a player might be holding the ball would be like Scotty Barnes when he comes down and, you know, wants to get his own, or Malachi Flynn when he's kind of struggling to dribble around. But that's a different issue for a different day. The big thing though I want to point out though of the offense entirety is there's definitely a different method to the offense, but the Raptors currently are shooting, have an effective field goal percentage. So this equalizes threes and twos of 51% this season so far through three games. Last season, they were at 51.7% effective field goal percent. So effectively the same, again, small sample. And the Raptors have been shooting really well from three, surprisingly, the first three games, but their interior finishing has not been up to scuff. So I think a lot of that will just come down to as they get their spacing a little bit better, at the time their cuts better, time their screens better, you'll see some of that kind of like clogged paint area and clogged inside kind of open up a bit more, where the advantages they're trying to create will be more fruitful for them. But for now, what we've seen is the method has definitely been different. The results have been more or less the same, if not a little bit worse than the half court. But again, early times, it's a new offense they're learning. So
yeah, it's still so incredibly early. I mean, Jalen McDaniels has not made his first NBA basket of the season. It's still three games in. Grady Dick just had his, and he had a breakout in his. Like, he didn't only just have his first few points, but he went on to score double digit points in an NBA game. So he was lights out, just hitting those threes. But I'm glad you mentioned it. So this season, what I really want to do with you guys this year is give you guys a cool stat or something that I'm looking at. Now, this week, you mentioned it. The team shooting much better, not much better, but like from deep, a good amount, a percentage that is respectable, commendable even. And from two, not so great. And really what I wanted to do is focus in on the guards, because I think that that's going to be a very big thing for this Toronto Raptors team this year. With the Raptors running a ton of dribble handoffs, you need your guards to be able to get downhill and be able to finish. And that's something that we're really not seeing with the guards. So let me break it down for you right now. The Raptors are shooting, as a team, this is the entire team, are shooting 38.8% from deep, which again, 39% from deep, respectable, commendable, good job, guys. And from 2-point range, they're shooting 46.1%, which would be third worst in the league. You know, only the Knicks and the Heat, two teams that are, hey, finding their way throughout this early bit of the season as well, are the only two teams that are struggling more than them. But let's actually take this to the guards. As I mentioned, this is going to be an important part for the Raptors this season. So if we break this down, I'm going to give you, well, it started off with Gary Trent Jr. Gary Trent Jr. is shooting 37% from deep, which is great, but only 33.3% from 2-point range. To put that in perspective, he's made more threes on this season than he has made twos. He's 7 of 19 from deep and 6 of 18 from two. So he's hitting his threes. He's just not finishing those twos. And we know that his finishing in transition, we saw it a little bit in the preseason as well, is a little suspect. And it's not something that I would expect to continue. It seems like that's something that should be figured out or fixed as the season goes on. But that's something to really keep your eye on, is that 3-2 discrepancy or disparity there. Let's jump over to Dennis Schroeder. So Dennis Schroeder is shooting 52%. Over 52%, nearly 53% from deep. He is 10 of 19. So he has been absolutely lights out from three. You get into that 2-point range, he's 6 of 23. He's shooting 26% from 2-point range and better than Stephen Curry numbers to start the season from deep, okay? Like, there is a wide discrepancy and disparity there. And then finally, we have Malachi Flynn. Malachi Flynn is 3 for 4. On his threes this season, 3 for 4, 75%. He's been amazing, lights out from deep. But you get in to the 2-point arc, you get inside the arc, and it's 0 for 4. So he's taken 8 shots, and all 3 of them have come from beyond the arc. Again, 0% or whatever that we had, 0% from 2-point range and 75% from beyond the arc. Think that that's something to really watch. It's not something that I would expect to persist as the season goes on.
And there's a reason why this is really important. Like, if people are wondering why, like, guards inside the arc matters, like, yeah, like, our 3-point shooting's been fine, but
you need guys to get downhill.
Exactly. Quite frankly, it's like you're coming off of these DHOs, and like, if you have Scottie Barnes, Jakob Poeltl, Pascal Siakam's, you know, running these DHOs where they're just handing off and then our screeners. And then rolling, like, the guards are the ones that are taking the advantage of going downhill. Yeah. In the Philadelphia game, you saw often Philadelphia, Joel Embiid would shade over to whoever was rolling and just basically dare the guards to shoot over, you know, Philadelphia contesting late from behind or whatever, but fairly, like, makeable runners and floaters. And Gary Trent Jr. and Dennis Schroeder, who've been taking the bulk of those, just have not been completing those. And until they can complete those, that penetration is not becoming fruitful, because it's not creating assists if the defense isn't helping over. And if you're not making the shot, then you've just run this intricate action. And then after you miss that shot, your guard is underneath the basket, your big is also underneath the basket, and the other team's breaking the other way in transition. So it becomes a little bit trickier that way. So those are the two, that's a stat that, like, I'm really curious to see improve. Like, yes, their first game was against Rudy Gobert and a Wolves team that plays two centers. Your third game is against Joel Embiid. But even then, like, there's a middle ground to find. Like, your lows can't be this incredibly low. And I expect it to even out. The Raptors shooting is most likely going to dip as the season goes on. It's kind of not really sustainable to shoot 39% from three, I don't think, for this team throughout the season. But their two-point shooting has to improve, especially from their guards, if their guards are going to be responsible or are going to be the ones taking advantage of all of the screening action that the Raptors are running.
All right, so now that we've talked about some of the guard trouble scoring inside, let's talk about something that's a little bit more bright, which is Scotty Barnes, who's been an absolute beast to start the season. His efficiency, his scoring numbers have just gone up across the board, but his efficiency is the thing that I really want to focus in on here. So Scotty Barnes, 22 for 35 on the season inside the arc, meaning he's shooting 63%. And he's still taking threes as well and shooting 36% there. I think that inside the arc number, just being the guy to take the most twos on the team and shooting it at an incredibly efficient rate is something that we want to see. Scotty Barnes is generally bigger than anybody else he's going up against. And his ability to dominate that matchup and not shy away from contact, finish over guys, and just be a big guy inside has been an absolute steal and a dream to watch. He's also handling the ball more, just doing a lot more, and being able to take that next step offensively has just been a treat. What are your thoughts on Scotty Barnes early parts of the season?
Yeah, Scotty's been awesome. You know, he's had a little bit of turnover worry in the first two games, but yeah, you know, he took accountability of that in the post game after Chicago. He seemed to be pretty torn up about his late turnover, and then in that Philly game he tightened it up. And you know, there was no real complaints with Scotty in that Philadelphia game. He showed his aggressiveness.
He was the best player on the court.
Yeah. And like looking at just like this season versus last season, like his touches are up. He went from 73 touches to 81 so far in the season. His spending less time on those touches, about 20 seconds less per touch. And his points per touch have gone from 0.21 to 0.26. So he's just scoring, like he's more efficient with his touches. So he's getting more points out of them. And one of the things that I think we saw in the Philadelphia game, he hit a number of turnaround jumpers and a number of pull-up jumpers. He's been very efficient with those. So small sample size theater, nothing to get too crazy about. It's only three games.
We're getting crazy about it.
He's taken 3.7 attempts a game right now, and he's shooting 72% on his pull-ups. Compared to last season, he was averaging 2.9.
Championship parade route. MVP.
Exactly.
Call it now.
Last season, he was at 2.9 a game, so he's taking an attempt more per game, and he's at 31%. So obviously, that's going to normalize over the season, but it's a good early sign that he's, A, confident in that shot,
and
that
he's taking more.
Like, the fact that he's taking more and he's confident in it is already a good sign. The percentages are probably going to come down, obviously. No one's shooting 72% unless you're, like, prime Kevin Durant in, like, the hottest month of his life.
Who's to say he's not?
And who's to say he's not? But, you know, even if that comes down to like a 45-50%, that's still, you know, incredible to have as, and that's like, those are one of those, like pull-up shooting is one of the things that your number one guy needs to have.
Yeah.
And for Scotty Barnes coming into the season, I don't think pull-up shooting was something that we expected from him at all. I think at best it was like, hey, if he can improve his catch and shoot, three-point shooting, if he can be a little bit better with his turnovers and be a more aggressive corner of the rim, we'd be all happy with that.
Yeah.
But for his pull-up shooting to already be ahead of this ahead of the game, that's a promising stat early on. So that's the one thing, like, Scotty has impressed me on top of everything else in his game has been his aggressiveness and just like how good his shooting has really been.
Looking to score is so important. I also just like looking through the numbers, I'm like, OG Anunoby has missed 1 2-point shot and it was this midi that like probably should not have taken, but outside of that, 7 of 8, like, oh my goodness. And also just like insanely efficient from deep as well. It sucks that he had to miss a game. So again, we're talking about a small sample size and a sample size that just got smaller by 33%. But I just think this early season, although the record looks a little bleak, I think there's reason to be optimistic about this team. Also, just wanted to get, we've been focusing a lot on offense. In fact, the last podcast that I did was offense focus specifically, let's just position ourselves and just turn it over to the defensive end as well, because we're not just seeing major changes on the offensive end, we're seeing it defensively as well. So what are your thoughts on how the Raptors have looked on that end?
I think in the first two games, the Raptors defensively looked pretty solid. I think their starting unit, like when OG Anunoby's healthy and Jakob Poeltl's in there, Jakob Poeltl did have a very tough game in Philly. So I'm going to chalk that up to be kind of like a one-off until further notice. But the first two games, whenever Jakob has been in, the defensive rebounding has been incredibly solid. Yeah. The Raptors look big. They look athletic. They look very, very – like they shut down Chicago to start that game. The starters did before the bench came in and kind of were wobbly. And that's kind of the things we've seen. One thing the Raptors have been really good at with their starting unit is getting stops, getting defensive rebounds, and then turning those defensive rebounds into transition. The bench unit, not so much. Whenever we've had Precious Achiuwa at the five or Scottie Barnes at the five, the defensive rebounding, just because I think this general size becomes a little bit smaller, the unit becomes a little bit more they'll switch maybe a little bit more, or they'll, you know, kind of cross match and transition when they get back. So the defensive rebounding hasn't been as great in those lineups. And that's where you've seen the couple flaws that we've seen with the Raptors defense this season has been A, it's when they turn the ball over on offense, the other team is scoring points off turnover pretty easily. So the transition defense, like things like that, will pick up. Of course, it's always hard to stop people off of turnovers just because your defense is in a scramble. And then the other thing is just offensive rebounds. The couple games where they've had trouble, or the stretches of games where they've had trouble, is where they've given up a lot of offensive rebounds, which have like automatically led to points consistently. So as I think the season goes along, and obviously the starting unit has played a lot together in the past, the bench units, not so much. Malachi Flynn getting minutes for the first time in a while. And he's a very small guard at that too, right? So like not exactly the best defender either. Precious Achiuwa still ramping up and getting back into his rhythm. And again, he's playing a completely different scheme than he was last season. He's a young player. It takes a while to do that. His defensive positioning has been kind of here and there. Chicago wasn't very good. Philadelphia was quite a bit better. Scottie Barnes has been, I think, awesome all the way. But at the same time, Scottie Barnes has kind of been playing one man, do whatever he wants on defense to kind of gamble a bit. And sometimes that means five blocks against Chicago on the help side. Other times it means, you know, closing out on trying to trap Tyrese Maxey at half court, getting split, and Maxey gets an open layup out of it. So, you know, it's hit or miss. It's obviously going to be a bit of a balance. I think Scottie's been making better, more good defensive plays and more sound defensive plays than he has the other way. But as a bench unit that, you know, you're integrating Grady Dick for the first time. He had three fouls in like the first 5-6 minutes of his run. These are young players, especially in the bench, that haven't really played as much together. So I think give them a few games. I think then we're going to kind of see a bit more consistency. But I do think the Raptors starting unit defense has like an incredibly high potential. If not top 10, they can be like a top 5 defensive unit in the league. And then their bench, it's just more about how can they kind of hone in on the simple things. Defensive rebound as a group, you know, stay solid, don't foul too much, things like that. So those are things that I would expect to improve in time. But in the early season, I think there is like some really, really, really good positive outlook for that side of the court for the Raptors.
Okay, here's my conspiracy theory. The Raptors play the Portland Trailblazers this early on in the season because he played Nick Nurse, he played DeMar DeRozan. I think they thought something was going to happen. I think schedule makers were like, listen, I don't know if it's, you know, a Pascal Siakam for Scoot situation. I don't know if Dame becomes a Raptor. I don't know what, but let's just put Blazers Raptors early on because something's going to happen. And no, nothing has happened here. So it's going to be the Toronto Raptors playing the Portland Trailblazers on Monday. What are your thoughts on that game?
It should be okay. Look, the Trailblazers, they just played against the Sixers the night before, so yeah, they're on the second night of back to back. It's a young team and it plays like a young team. Scoot Henderson hasn't necessarily had the best start to his season. He's been kind of a little bit shaky. The team's defense has been a little bit shaky. It should be interesting. Again, the Raptors bigs, like you're going up against DeAndre Ayton, who can be formidable on any given night. The Raptors have had a lot of success against him. But we'll see how, you know, they can do against him per se. And then, you know, is that team going to really realistically the Raptors should win that game? I like there's no real roundabout way to do it. Shaden Sharp, you know, it's a homecoming for him. You know, Canadians love to show out when they come here. So
okay, yeah, let me not disrespect Shaden Sharp. Maybe it's an early season game because schedule makers just wanted Shaden to come home for a bit.
Yeah. So I would expect a big game from Shaden Sharp just because that's kind of what happens when the Canadians come home. But I think the Raptors should win this game. Scoot Henderson, though, is an electric point guard. He's very athletic. So the Raptors have had trouble with athletic point guards in the past, and Scoot Henderson is due for a good game. So who knows? We'll kind of see how that kind of head-to-head matchup goes. But I would hope that the Raptors can take care of this matchup. Your hope to see Precious Achiua and OG Anunoby back. I know OG's got cramps. So if he's back, then I think it should be pretty easy for the Raptors if they have their full starting lineup. If they're missing both OG and Precious, then I can see things getting a little bit squirrely, but the Raptors should have the talent to handle this team. And it'll really come down to which team can be more of a veteran team. And I would imagine the Raptors should be that. The Raptors haven't really shown the best ability to close out yet, but they do have the vets to close out games. So we'll see how it goes. I expect Scottie Barnes to do well, really. Like, he'd be facing up against Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant and I think Matisse Thybul is on their wing. So, like, I don't know how many defenders Portland will really be able to throw on them. Also, Jeremy Grant, like, how much is he trying on the defensive end versus just, you know, kind of, I'm a good player on a bad team, let me get my stats and go home. So it should be interesting. I would hope the Raptors pull out the win, and probably a very commanding win if they can. It's a young team, should beat up on them and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, but I've also gotten on here before, like, a Charlotte Hornets game, and I'm like, they're going to win, duh. And then they come out and get absolutely, or lose. I don't know, Jeremy Lamb hits a game winner on you or something. So crazier things have happened. I do kind of, I like that you brought up OG Anunoby. To me, this is like, if it's just cramps, hopefully those cramps have gone away, right? Like, hopefully. So I would like to see OG Anunoby back, but I think we've talked a little bit about bench struggles. And I would hope that a game like this, just to get familiarity, if you do happen to blow out a team like the Portland Trailblazers, well, that leaves a lot of minutes for your bench. And so hopefully they can get some familiarity, some comfortability, some shots down for Jalen McDaniels, just some things to go in to help sort of smooth over the season. Because, you know, 4 preseason games is not a lot of preseason games, right? It's less than they had last year. Last year was 5. But it's also a big cutback from what they used to do in the NBA as the season sort of gets more rest. And so everything's been stretched out and preseason has been cut for that reason. And I think you start to see that at the beginning of the season. I think you start to see a little bit of rust when normally you would have 8 preseason games. And so we'd still be talking about the preseason as opposed to it being the start of the season.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And you have 3 games under your belt. So that, you know, fingers slipping and the ball being turned over and fouls and refs calling things that they shouldn't be calling, that would have been a preseason game under normal circumstances. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of that. But hopefully after Portland, we're back in what a normal regular scheduled season would look like. And Portland is a team that I don't think is looking to win. And the Raptors are a team that should, regardless of anything, be looking to win because they don't have their pick this season. And so this should be a good game for Toronto. Fingers crossed that we're not jinxing it here. But yeah, that's everything for me. What do you have? You have anything else to add here or plug?
Nothing really. We doing coverage at Pros and Claws at .substack.com all season. So check us out there. My Twitter's at Swar Lasers as always. You can check me out there as well. We'll usually have a piece out this week going over some key stats for the Raptors as well. And then, you know, stuff throughout the week, interesting stuff on the NBA as well as the Raptors. So on top of Yahoo is right there.
Just to add in that Pros and Claws plug, I will be putting out a piece this week as well, talking about how I got Tim Donaghy on Dishes and Dimes and what my thought process was to get Tim Donaghy on Dishes and Dimes. Did I think it was a good idea? Why I did it? And why I think it's important conversation for us to continue to have, and why it won't be a standalone episode, and we'll be getting more out there for you. So check out that, because I'm getting all my thoughts and feelings out on paper and should be putting that out sometime this week. So everyone, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Raptors Over Everything. Hopefully the next time we come in here to talk, we're not talking about a bad stat of the week to focus in on, but we're talking about some good things because the Raptors are on a winning spree. I don't know. Is it called a spree? No, it's called a streak. It's still early, guys. I'm in early season form. Thanks, everybody, and peace out.